are made in the image of God, there is, at least to some point, a relevance and understanding that if we know more about ourselves, we will learn more about God because we are made in his image. And so I think a lot of people don't take that self-awareness. They don't look for it. And so their reality, their actuality is different than what's really going on around them.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. I am your host, Mike Hatch. I am the National Relationship Generator for CLC, and I'm here as usual with my co-host, speaker, and author, Chris Bollinger. Have you ever felt like just in a spot where you didn't know what God was up to in your life? Maybe it was a transition at work, maybe it was trouble in your marriage, relationship struggles. Maybe just a dry season in your life where you just felt like God was a little far and you weren't getting what you normally do when you read scripture or prayer maybe, or you're just lacking direction in terms of where God might be leading you in whatever the next phase is in your life. Well, today our guest is Elad Shapira, founder of Prodigal Spiritual Direction. Elad is an Anglican priest with an MDiv and a master's in church planting. Elad shares his story about going from that into becoming spiritual director and founding Prodigal Spiritual Direction. In his words, he loves being able to help people figure out where they're headed. No matter who you are not out of God's reach, according to him. And like the prodigal child, we can change direction back to the path God has for us. And you'll hear some of that play out in his stories. He shares his fence post story to begin with. And then we talk a little bit more about what spiritual direction looks like and why we as men especially could really benefit from this. And then lastly, I get a little bit vulnerable and he takes me through the process himself where we kind of model what it would look like somewhat in a session. And he kind of talks me through some issues that I'm dealing with right now, just in my new profession and heading in a new direction in my life. And so I hope that by walking through that with Elad, that you'll have a better idea of what this means and understand the benefit that you could gain from this as well. Of course, we'll have all the information about Elad and his organization in the show notes below. Feel free to reach out to him. And as he mentions in the show, he's offering a free special session for listeners of the Empowered Manhood podcast. So make sure you take advantage of that. Also, last thing, if you have any questions about CLC or men's discipleship, my job is to travel the country and meet with pastors and churches, consult with them, and talk about the resources that CLC offers for men's discipleship to integrate into your discipleship strategy in your church. I would love to meet with you. Reach out to me. My email address is mhatch@clchq.org. That's mhatch@clchq.org. Or you can visit our website at clchq.org. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our interview with Elad Shapira. Elad Shapira, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, man. We're grateful to have you.
It's great to be here, man. It's a beautiful day today.
Nice. I'm glad
it's
beautiful
we're on
there.
That. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, in Chicago. Yeah. In Pittsburgh, I'm looking out at a cloudy, cloudy, dreary day with some, you know, some flurries a little bit. It's cold, but it's going to be better this weekend.
No comment from the Florida contingent. So.
Oh, yeah. You're in Florida. Oh, where at?
Fort Myers.
Oh, wow. I grew up in West Palm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very cool. Wow.
Are you just following me around to all the places I've been living? Like, that's kind of weird, man.
That's amazing. Yeah. So, all right. So, Elad, You, we're excited to hear more about what you do, as your new business has gotten started, new ministry/business. And, so we are going to hear more about that, of course, as well as, you're going to actually take me through. We met previously and you gave me the assessment and, came up with my, what you call actuality profile. And we're going to go through that and kind of model what it is that you do with other people, for folks. So as I said before the interview, that it demystifies what a spiritual coach or spiritual director, is. And so we'll go through that, which that'll be fun. So then first of all, though, of course, as we do with every episode, we want to start out with your fence post story. And so for those of you who maybe are new to the podcast, a fence post story is just, if you imagine a fence along a property, you've got the horizontal pieces, you've got the vertical pieces, and the vertical pieces represent those more significant moments in our life that contribute pretty dramatically to who we are today. Could be experiences, could be significant people who impact our lives. And so, so Elad, we'd love to hear a few fence posts of your story, just get to know you, and then draw that thread from there into what God has called you to today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a big movie buff. So, and I love Tarantino films. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to start at the end and then go back to the beginning. Sound good?
Oh man, I think you're speaking to our hearts right now. That's great.
Quentin Tarantino's your love language. Is that right?
Well, I think many guys are movie buffs, and there are probably a lot of guys who are like, yes, I can't wait for this. So yeah man, this is great. Let's go.
So right now, I am a spiritual director and formation coach. And what that basically means is that I help everyone, to discern what God is doing in their life, where God is calling them, and helping them to just generally become stronger in their faith as well and develop spiritual disciplines. And I have a real heart for entrepreneurs as well, because you'll hear a little bit, I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, not just with this business. And so, yeah, so I have a passion for that. So back to the beginning. If you can imagine a young lad, for your listeners, I'm still bald as a child, but have the beard still. Yeah. So I just picture me smaller.
Wow.
And so I grew up Jewish in a Jewish family. And I want to emphasize the ish on that, because it wasn't really a religious background. A friend of mine would say we put the semi in Semite.
That's great.
And so I grew up in that. It wasn't until college that I really had my conversion, where I was with a friend at a event she was doing at her church, and they were doing communion at the end of the night. And I have a deep-seated fear of being embarrassed and looking bad. So I did that. I took communion not knowing what it was. And I know probably half your audience right now is clutching their pearls, gasping. But at least in this denomination, anyone who is seeking a relationship with Christ is allowed to take. That was not me.
Yeah, right.
But I believe fully that God is faithful enough to us that when we come to him, not even knowing what's going on, he won't let us leave the same way we came. And that is exactly what happened. I started going to church. I became best friends with the pastor, and he became my mentor. He discipled me for 3 years, got baptized, went to school for education, became a teacher. Florida, as you might know, Chris, doesn't really care about education below the college level.
Right.
So my county had massive budget cuts back in like 2010, 2011. I don't know if you remember that. And they let go of all first year teachers and even some with tenure. And they basically said, if we bring someone back, it's not going to be you. So have a nice life. Mm-hmm. I had a part-time job as a youth director at the time. Finally, they sent me to this young adult conference. I was fairly young at the time. I was like 22. And there they had Isaiah 6:8 on the screen. Here am I, send me. And I, you know, my story is marked with coming to God, not ready to do whatever I'm saying, but, you know, God's faithful. So I prayed, Lord, if this is good enough for Isaiah, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. What do you want me to do? Send me, I'll go. And I very clearly, in a voice unlike my own, but sadly not Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah, I know.
That really, you know, I was tracking with you there, but you lost me at that point.
Yeah.
I know. It's so
a bummer.
If it's not Morgan Freeman, who is it, right? It's probably the devil, right? Yeah, right. No. But so he said, God said, go to Asbury, become a pastor, plant a church. Did not know what Asbury was at the time. It's a seminary for all your listeners who may not know it either. So I moved sight unseen to Wilmore, Kentucky, a small little, would not even be on the map if it wasn't for Asbury College and seminary there. Sight unseen, didn't even visit first.
Wow.
Get there. Still not sure why God called me here specifically, but then as I started, they had all these church planting initiatives start up. And so I'm one of a few people. They had a Masters of Arts in church planting that they eventually changed because of people working overseas in closed countries. That's not a real great thing to have on your resume. So I'm one of the few that actually got a Masters of Arts in church planting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, went out to a church in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, that sadly did not want to buy what I was selling, if you know what I mean. Like, I was trying to offer them health and as a church and growth. In my first 2 years, we tripled in size, which, you know, right? Like, when you have 20 people, that's easy to do.
So as an existing church lad, right? It wasn't a church plant. It was an existing church,
yeah,
but you were trying to revitalize it.
Yeah. So you just want the fence post. There's a long story about why it wasn't a church plant. So if you really want to know, I can tell it. But so yeah, we tripled in size in my first 2 years, but those original 20, 30 people, they were at capacity for relationship. Every single one of them. They had no more room for caring for anyone else. And so all the people that I'm not being prideful, but I brought in only had me as a touch point. And so that's not enough to be a part of a church, especially when you didn't go to church before.
Yeah.
So hit COVID. They ended up suffering from that mentality just because they started not being able to afford a full-time pastor anymore. Sadly, that's what happens when we reject change. And so we decided to part ways. I moved out here to Chicago. And right now, as I said in the beginning, I'm working as a spiritual director and formation coach, just trying to help people grow closer to God.
That's awesome. So something I noticed in your story that I think is really cool. You said at the very beginning, and your story actually reminds me too of a previous interview we did with our founder of CLC, Dr. Hal Haddon. You said basically that when you went forward to go take communion that first time, you didn't really know what you were doing. But I love how you talked about, you kind of emphasized God's faithfulness in that, even based on the littlest, tiniest inkling of submission, if you want to call it that, even if the motives aren't pure. And what I thought of was, I thought of the woman at the well with Jesus. You know, she was not necessarily pure in her motives of sharing the fact that I don't have a husband, is what she said. And Jesus says, yeah, that's right. In fact, you've had five husbands and the one you're living with is not your husband. So like now, and he probably said it much more lovingly than I just said that, but She just stuck her toe out, if you will, the teeniest bit into the light, and Jesus took it and used it in miraculous ways. And so I love how your story emphasizes God's faithfulness to you. And then also how, and this is where it reminds me of Hal Haddon's story, Chris, is that he, you're obedient in that very next step, whatever that is. It's not ultimately necessarily where God is taking you, but just be faithful in that next step. Just take that first next whatever, let God work in that. And this is, by the way, I'm preaching to myself as I say this too, because I don't care where you are in ministry, there are certain pieces of ministry that are great, and others can be frustrating. And you got to remind yourself that, you know, this is a piece of the bigger puzzle, you know. But anyway, I love that you're on this journey. Being part of that church was part of it, but it wasn't the whole it wasn't the whole puzzle yet. But you were trying to be faithful in that. Anyway, those are kind of things that stuck out to me from your story.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I glossed over one thing that I think, as I hear you talking, is really important as well. I grew up, I'm 33 years old now, and over the last 30 years of my life, the first 30 years, I had undiagnosed ADHD the whole time, which has a lot of baggage with it. But what was the most interesting about it was being part of the church as a congregant at this point. I wanted to learn how to pray. I wanted to learn how to read my Bible. I wanted to learn how to have a relationship with God, right? But because my brain moves so fast, I get distracted really easily. You know, a word even in the scripture will send me off to, like, did I pay my bills? Is the stove on?
There's a lot of men, I think, that relate to that.
What happened was, when I went to talk to people, they didn't know how to pray. They just said, well, you just do it. You sit and you think, or you talk softly to God and have that conversation. And you just sit and read your Bible. Like, you know how to read, right? And what I realized as I went through my journey was, yes, we are all called to pray. We're all called to read our Bible. We're all called to engage in spiritual disciplines. But they're going to look different for every single person, because God made us all unique. And so for me, sitting in a chair, you know, silent, contemplative, you know, still, as much as I love that tradition of the church, and I do, it's just not how God wired me. And so I had to find new ways to engage that, to put it in business terms, yielded me a higher ROI, return on investment, whereas I wasn't getting that with just sitting in a chair praying.
Elad, I looked at your LinkedIn profile, and it looks like you got 2 master's degrees at Asbury. And I think they're very closely related. You got the church planting degree, but you also got one on spiritual formation. And I think if you had actually done a church plant, as opposed to kind of a revitalization / plant or whatever it is that you ended up doing in Iowa, I think you could have used both your areas of strength in harmony, in conjunction. Can you talk a little bit about your desire to do spiritual formation, why it didn't happen in Iowa or didn't happen the way you had hoped, and how that led you to Chicago and what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, let me say, church planting is the easy way out. And I know a lot of people are going to give me weird looks when I say that. But a church plant essentially happens one of two ways. Either it starts with just you, or it starts with a group of people who you've been working with and have the DNA that you need to start that church.
Right.
A church revitalization, however, by definition, the attitude, the actions, the reality of that church is already not conducive to change and growth.
It's struggling for a reason, right?
And exactly.
And the reason is that it hasn't changed to keep pace with the community or something else.
My grandfather used to say it this way: look, there's a reason for everything, And sometimes that reason is you're stupid. And I'm not calling anyone stupid, but that resonates with me as a life lesson.
In the business world, they say often that your system is perfectly designed for the results that you're getting.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I think the same is true in a lot of churches that, you know, why are you struggling? Why are your numbers down? Well, your current system is perfectly designed for the results that you're getting.
And I think they don't understand. They don't see the reality.
Yeah. Right?
They see the experience they've had. And in most denominations, your average church, at least in my denomination, the average member is 70 years old mm-hmm. and the average pastor is 50 years old, give or take. So you have an older way of thinking. You have people who grew up in the church and yep. don't understand why people don't want to be a part of the church. And yet they won't go out and reach them. They won't, you know, do the things that create relationships, because it's all about relationships. Everything is. Mm-hmm. And so I think the reason spiritual formation didn't work out, at least what I was offering, because really they just wanted me to preach and do Bible studies that were informational only, right? Mm-hmm. Like, teach us where Galilee is. Okay, great. That's not going to help you today, but sure, why not? And so what I was offering them was to better understand themselves so that they can better understand others. And we'll talk about this a little later when we get to Mike's profile, but if we are made in the image of God, there is, at least to some point, a relevance and understanding that if we know more about ourselves, we will learn more about God, because we are made in his image. And so I think a lot of people don't take that self-awareness. They don't look for it. And so their reality, their actuality is different than what's really going on around them.
And I think you're right. We don't know ourselves. And sometimes I think people dismiss the whole idea of knowing yourself because they equate it to, you know, navel gazing and obsessing about yourself and stuff like that. And it's not about that. Actually, it has more to do with confession in my mind. Because as what we'll go over in terms of like understanding the Enneagram or some of these other, inventories that give you perspective on who you are. For me, the Enneagram has helped probably more than anything to understand my sinful nature, my shadow side, which has caused me to draw closer to Christ, be more dependent on God, and his grace for me. And that's, I think, the difference. I think most people want to kind of hide and protect themselves, and men especially, we prefer the dark than stepping into the light and being exposed.
Well, yeah. And I think men aren't taught to do that. Especially men of a certain generation, you bottle it up. You are the rock. You take care of your family. You die of a heart attack because you haven't been able to express anything for 60 years. But what I think is interesting, because you talk about all these different tests, is a lot of them are personality tests or like leadership tests. Like the DISC will tell you what kind of a leader you are. The Myers-Briggs will tell you whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. But what we did actually gets to the essence of how you're living in reality. And that's why it's an actuality profile, right? It's our actual existence contrasted against our imagined, unevaluated, and even sometimes intended view of reality.
What types of people, and I know you're early on in this, but what types of people come or do you anticipate coming? So, you know, who reaches a point where they say, I really need to consult with somebody to get spiritual direction?
Yeah. Everyone can benefit from spiritual direction, and that's not the answer you want. But I think people, you know, anytime there's a transition in their life, they often will question, you know, why did God do this, or what is going on in this time? Or maybe, you know, I was working with someone who is a pastor, but doubts the answers he gets in prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, he self doubts. And I get that. I understand that. I did that for a long time. And so people who something just seems to be wrong in their life and they don't know what exactly it is. It's not counseling. It's not psychology, but it's centered around your spiritual life and, you know, understanding God better, going to God and, you know, if something bad happened, railing against him for a little while to be able to hear from him and say, oh, you are good. And this may be a bad time, but you ultimately are for me, which I think we see a lot of in the Psalms. So it's perfectly biblical to yell at God.
Okay. So somebody who's had, they're at a decision point or they've had something that's really rocked their world and they're not quite sure what's going on in terms of what God's trying to teach them or what God's trying to do, or could it be somebody who's just kind of frustrated with a lack of effectiveness in their Christian life?
Yeah. So what I offer is kind of, I see it as two parallel roads, or maybe a compass and a map. Let's use that analogy. So spiritual direction is recalibrating the compass. You're finding your north so that you can then figure out where you're going to go. Spiritual formation is then the map. So that's the steps you're going to take, how you're going to get there. And both are necessary. And I think it is most effective. Spiritual direction is actually the most effective when it's proactive instead of reactive. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you're having a great time right now and life is awesome. Well, first off, when things go well, we often forget about God. Because we're the ones doing it, right? We made this work. And then when bad things happen, God made that happen. But when we're proactive and doing that, not only do we get to celebrate what God's doing in the good, but it prepares us for when those waves do hit us, that we're not rocked as much. And also, personally, right, I work with everyone, but I also have a passion of working with entrepreneurs. As a church planting is the entrepreneur of the church world.
Right.
And so I understand what it's like to try to bring a vision to fruition. I understand what happens when, oh my gosh, when people ask you how it's going and you got to be, every entrepreneur answers the same way. Oh man, but we're just turning the corner.
Yeah.
It's all corners when you're an entrepreneur.
Right.
And so you don't get to be honest, right? And same thing with pastors too. So you need somewhere you can do that. You know, Mike was talking about confession. You need a place where you can be your true self, that with someone who's not going to judge you and help you. And so, yeah, so I think that's also a big part of it. You can also get spiritual direction for an organization, right? Because an organization is made up of multiple souls, right? So there's almost a life to it in itself. And so bringing your board of directors, bringing your leadership team, bringing your staff even together to, you know, discern and vision cast together and get all on the same page is very helpful. And we do it without trust falls, which is always a plus.
Hey man, I loved doing trust falls the first time. That was life changing for me.
You've obviously never had someone walk away when you were falling.
No, I did not. No, I understand how they've kind of become cliche. And the lad, the compass map distinction. Oh
yeah. Yeah.
Super helpful. That really helps connect the dots. So grateful for that. Give us a kind of an overview of what you do with someone as you're working with them and recalibrating the compass.
So a session that we have is usually about 50 minutes. If you want to go longer, you can, but 50 minutes is kind of the standard. And it involves one, the directee, the person being directed, sharing openly and honestly about what they want to bring to God. Because ultimately, if you're going to keep that mask up when you go into spiritual direction, it's a waste of money and a waste of time, right? I'm not here to waste your resources. I'm here to help you get somewhere that you want to go. And so we usually, they'll bring a problem forward that we're going to discuss for that one session. You really can't get more than one done at a time, frankly. So they'll say it, I'll clarify anything that I, you know, misunderstood in their story or needed more of a clarification, like you were doing with my story earlier. And then, you know, we go before God, we pray, and we listen. And for me, what I've realized is even if God gives me a statement to share with someone, it is very unhelpful for me to end my sentences with a period. I have found more people respond and recognize the truth in it when you ask it as a question. You know, I wonder, could this be what's happening right now? And spiritual direction, you know, you want to make sure you have a good spiritual director. When you go through spiritual direction, there should not be anything that's just like out of left field, or it shouldn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. When you hear truth, you should respond like, oh, yes, this makes sense.
And that happened a lot during our first session, by the way. There are several times where you'd say something and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Yes, that is so true. Yeah.
Well, that's my superpower. I can actually stare into your soul. So that's why that happened. Okay.
But that's not scary or anything.
No, not at all. You know, that's why I have glasses. So we talk. It's basically an hour of talking without judgment and with someone who's going to help you. And so that's what spiritual direction is. And over a long period of time, what you'll find is it's easier than to go before God because you've been doing it with help for so long. I'm a pastor and we haven't talked about scripture for a while. So let me bring it back to scripture. In 1 Kings, you've got Elijah, right? And he's on the run from Jezebel and he ends up on the top of a mountain to hear from God. And it says that there was a mighty wind, but God wasn't in it. There was an earthquake, but God wasn't in it. There was fire, but God wasn't in it. But after that, there was this still small voice, this whisper, and God, that was God. And if we believe that God speaks, and if he does speak in a whisper sometimes, there's a lot of noise in the world. Like if I've got the radio blaring 24/7, I can't hear my wife talk, let alone whisper, let alone someone I can't visually see in front of me, right? And I think that that's what hinders a lot of people in prayer also, is you're not talking to no one, but you're talking to no one, right? Like there's no one there in front of you visually.
Well, it sounds to me, and I have not, obviously not gone through this like Mike has, but it sounds to me like if someone's coming to you, then they're sensing a need to come. They have a problem, but maybe they really can't articulate the problem very well, or they have a frustration, but they really don't know why. They feel stuck, but they're not sure why they're stuck. So helping them to articulate the need could be a key thing for anyone who's coming. Maybe they, you know, this is happening in my life and I'm really frustrated. I'm really unhappy with God. Maybe they have something tangible that they're coming for, but underneath that, there may be other things. So I think that helping them understand the problem, understand the need is going to be critical, but also helping them understand themselves is also critical. So I think, you know, having someone do an assessment may not be the first thing on their mind, or, you know, it may not seem to be something that's urgently needed, but it's necessary underneath because that will help with their spiritual direction, their spiritual formation. So, I mean, I've been to lots of counseling sessions, which we can get into at another time.
And I would have to say, I know you haven't taken the test, but I've got some time after the podcast if you would like to. I can stare into your soul for a while too. It's not fair that just Mike gets to experience
that's
that. Right. But you're absolutely right. I think, again, pastor, scripture, a big influence on me understanding spiritual direction is the story of the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been my entire journey, just that verse, but like the idea that there is this guy, because it's a man, not a boy, who cuts off all his relationships, essentially takes what he's got and goes in the wrong direction, I think would be fair to say. And then the best line in it all is, and he's in the pig pen thinking about eating the pig's food. He's like, and then he came to himself.
Mm-hmm.
There was this self-awareness, this understanding that seemed to happen there. And he redirects in a new direction back to the Father. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, very beautifully, the son's like, okay, I'm just going to keep my head down. I'll be a servant. I'll have what I need. And maybe someday he'll forgive me, but I doubt it. That's the new Alad version, by the way. And yet it doesn't even, the story doesn't even say he says any of that to the Father.
Right.
The Father just welcomes him back and restores him to where he was. And that's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help people come to the Father that he might restore them and their understanding of themselves and heal their hurts and heal their bad habits and refocus and grow so that they can lead a better life. And ultimately, I think, expand the kingdom, right? Because we all have a ministry, whether it's official or not.
All right. So in the last, 10 or 15 minutes here, let's go ahead. Unless Chris, you have anything else? I was going to go ahead.
No, I want to hear the Mike story. So my, I want to hear the the right. Mike experience.
So let's move into the my own actuality profile that you came up with, and wanna if you wouldn't mind, just start Alad with a little bit of a summary of what you got from me in that.
And before that, Mike, why don't we say, I know that you did this as part of prep for the podcast, but let's assume that you are going to see Alad. So, what is going on with you right now that would prompt you to have a session or two or six with Alad?
Yeah, I think, so what I've noticed is my new role from going from being a pastor to now working as the National Relationship Generator for CLC. I actually tested differently, which uncovered the fact that I'm actualizing, as you put it, in reality in life differently than I did as a pastor. And so, and part of the thing that I realize, and I think where I need to work more on now is my focus or emphasis on looking successful and, or being successful, is much greater than what it has been before. That's been maybe it's always been there to some extent, but it definitely is more of something here recently. And that's leading to certain insecurities in me, based on ways I might think I'm performing, but then also underperforming. And so I guess that would be, does that make sense? That's kind of, I think.
Yeah. You got a very different job. Your career is taking a new path. There are some things in your job that you can really leverage your strengths. Strengths that you've shown in your past job or jobs, but you're also being stretched and you're a little uncomfortable with some of the ways that you're being stretched.
Yeah, definitely. There's tension there, which is a good thing. But yeah, as a pastor, I was more, it's very different than where I am now. As a pastor, you're kind of just responding to everybody, just people constantly coming, you responding and ministering. In my new role, I'm the one who's activating, kind of going out, engaging. And it's very different and I have more autonomy. So anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if you don't mind, I'll share your previous results and then this, is that okay?
Yep.
So Mike, you had told me you'd taken a test like this previously, and you came out as kind of the people pleaser. You felt that when you helped people, it would make them like you more. And when you were
right.
Useful.
I think, and I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I was going to say, I think people pleaser probably is true. I think I was a number two on the Enneagram, and I know we want to stay away from numbers and get to the deeper descriptions, but what resonated with me was the helpful advocate or the helper. I have a strong desire to want to be a help and to come alongside people. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you're the loving person. That's what you were, the loving person. And not that you're not loving now, but there's been a shift, mm-hmm. right? The way you are reacting and interacting with the world has changed. So from the loving person, you have now moved ever so slightly next door to the effective person. Mm-hmm. And just generally, some things you'll hear in a report like this. So in general, you are adaptive, excelling, driven, image conscious.
Definitely.
You reflect the hope and the excellency of God, the beauty of doing well. That is what you're exhibiting from your creator. And so your attention is on tasks, goals, accomplishments. And I know that sounds really vague in general, but this is you are focusing on them to an extent that other people might not be. And that's not bad or good. It is just, mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because that's your attention, you want to avoid failure, incompetence, looking bad in front of people. And this is all kind of driven by a sense of shame from somewhere.
Yep.
And you have this predisposed brokenness, because we all have certain brokenness that we are predisposed to based on how we live and how we mm-hmm. are. It's pride and lying, really.
Yep.
Not to say that you're doing that. I'm not, on a podcast on the air for everyone to hear, I am not saying that this is 100%. Mike has to make those decisions for himself at upon hearing it.
Yeah.
And that's,
but it resonates as true though. And folks can go back and listen to, you know, Chris and I both gave our own fence post stories, and you can go back and find that episode and listen to it, where I will talk. I mean, I talk about the fact that, yeah, what defined me was shame and then needing to manipulate and lie to make myself look better than I was because of that shame.
Exactly. And so what I think happened when we were talking yesterday, just to, you know, justify myself some more, it didn't sound foreign to you, right? Remember I said, when you talk about these kind of things, it doesn't come out of left field. It just makes sense because it's truth. So the effective person at some point may have experienced shame or an embarrassment, pressure to look put together, received attention and praise mainly for their achievements, their feelings and considerations other than performing were kind of not taken in consideration at some point.
Yep. For those who can't see me right now, I'm a bobblehead as he's saying this.
He's shaking his head and he's shaking his fist because I'm saying all these things.
Yeah.
And then two more things I'll talk about, and then we'll put it over to Chris to see if he agrees with this about Mike. So there's also a false narrative that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. And this false narrative is that it's not okay to have your own feelings and be yourself, and that you are only loved and respected when you are successful and competent. And so the gospel intersects that and says, no, you are loved for who you are and not what you do. Because especially for the effective person who wants to be able to accomplish all things, faith is quintessentially, by definition, Jesus's death and resurrection is not something you can achieve. You cannot achieve your own salvation. And so your worth and your value come from what Jesus does and his performance rather than your own. And so that creates a real freedom that allows you to share your real self as you become healthier.
I can see a lot. You mentioned earlier about having a group of people come in for a spiritual formation or spiritual direction session. And I can see a lot of value in that because, you know, just knowing a little bit about Mike's assessment and knowing him by working with him and spending time with him, it's just very helpful in general. You know, when I have a conversation with someone I understand better, I can have a more meaningful conversation. My prayers can be more directed. When he says something to me, I can understand it better. So, yeah. And, you know, to put in a little plug for CLC, you know, that's part of what makes CLC so effective for so many men is you're getting together with men and you're getting to their hearts, each of their hearts. Who is this guy really? And how is God working in this guy's life? And the dynamics of that, especially the more time you spend with this group of men, it's just wonderful because you're all benefiting from it.
You're absolutely right. I work with couples, I work with organizations, I work with teams, all these different things. And not to make this too worldly, right? But when you start to understand not just how you interact in the world, how you are living, you start to understand how other people are living, which again, teaches you more about God. But maybe your sales pitch gets a little better too, right? Like you don't want to give someone who is driven by stories the numbers. Mm-hmm. You want to tell them about this really great thing that happened. But if someone doesn't really care about stories, but just wants the facts, don't give them a story, give them the numbers. And that's how you're going to speak to them and reach them.
Right.
And so husband and wife, great to learn that stuff for communication.
Right.
So real quick, cause we got to wrap up here. I know you've got another call you got to jump on.
I'm guessing you're wanting to move to the spiritual disciplines part.
Right. Let's get there. Let's wrap up with that. Just so that folks kind of get an idea of what some of the practical steps could be for afterward.
Yeah. So, this is not going to be applicable for everyone, because it is highly individual. But when we think about spiritual disciplines, there's, two categories I like to talk about, downstream and upstream disciplines. If you're a fish swimming in a river, it is much easier to swim downstream than it is upstream, because you're fighting against the natural order that's going on right there. So downstream practices are going to be super easy to do. They're the high ROI, right? That are the low hanging fruit. And that's not to say you don't want to do upstream practices because they will also grow you a lot, but they're going to be harder and take more intentionality and accountability, which is where I come in. So like I said earlier, Bible reading plans. The one I think I suggested was the Bible Project, which is an amazing one, has videos and everything like that, and it's free. The Bible app by, the YouVersion app by Life Church, Dwell is the one that I like. It has actual people reading it, and different voices, so I can... keeps my brain busy. And then an interesting one that I found is called Redeeming Time, which you put in how much time you have and it'll tell you what part of the Bible you can read in that time.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You know, you're waiting for an appointment. Oh, I've got 5 minutes. Let me read Jude or let me read First Peter. Right.
Nice.
So things like that are going to be really helpful. Also, fixed times of prayer. These are going to be really easy for you just because it's part of that checklist, right? Like you know it's coming up. I can check it off. It's coming up the same time every day. Mm-hmm. I'm Anglican in my background. So morning and evening prayer comp line, Vespers. These are all, you know, small 15 to 20 minute prayer services that can be done throughout the day. They even have a noontime one. What's interesting for you specifically, though, is that this fixed time prayer is also going to be an upstream for you because it's going to pull you away from the things you're doing. You know, you're already on a checklist, and now you have to, your alarm goes off and you go, oh, I need to take time with God right now, but I need to work on that. I need to do this. And so it's going to be hard to pull yourself away. But the more you do, the more you will, you know, grow in that. There's all, and so I'll talk about two more and then I'll stop. So confession is also a big thing. And people get a little weird when I say that because they always think of like the rosaries and the confessional booth of the Catholic Church. That's a way of confession for sure. But being Protestant myself, I don't know that I need a priest to absolve my sins because I can just go straight to Jesus. Why drink from the hose when you can drink from the actual stream, right? But in groups, like you've been talking about this CLC men's group that went a little long this morning because you were probably sharing with one another, that will be a safe place for you to share. In spiritual direction, that is a place to confess things. I am a pastor, and while I do not need to offer you salvation, I can't offer you salvation, Jesus does, I can help you understand that Jesus offers that to you. And so confessing your true self is going to be helpful. And I didn't tell you about this one. It's not actually in your report. I held this back.
Oh, drum roll, please.
Yes. And it's kind of, the more I thought about this, the more it made sense. Social media fasting.
Oh, that's painful.
Right. Social media is the image conscious epicenter of the world. We all love to put up those great photos, especially when things are going bad. And we see other people's great photos and assume nothing's going bad. And so taking yourself off of, you know, Facebook and Instagram for a while, right? I know a lot of people did it for Lent. You don't have to do it for Lent. You can do it for something anytime you want. But helping yourself to disengage from things that are trying to bolster that image. And sadly, that's pretty much all social media does.
And that's been something that's been more of an emphasis for me recently is image that there has become much more and more important to me, which is not necessarily a healthy thing. So
there you have it, folks. None of this wasn't prepared ahead of time. I just said that to him and he thought and he, in himself, he's like, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what spiritual direction is. If it doesn't, if you say, oh, that 100% not me, then you know, move on, right? Like there's other things that may be true.
Yeah. Man, Elad, this has been awesome, man. I'm really grateful for our time together. Grateful for this conversation. I hope guys, I hope you reach out to Elad. We'll have his information in the show notes or even just maybe you search for spiritual directors or whatever, but yeah, go ahead, Elad. You're going to say something.
I was going to say, for all your men out there, I will offer them something because I believe in this and I think everyone needs it. So I'd love to give them a free session.
Okay, great.
Just to come in and talk, you know, they have a problem going on right now. We can start to work.
Okay. That sounds great. So basically guys, if you want to contact him, we'll put the contact information in our show notes and then just let him know that you listen to the Empowered Manhood podcast and, and he'll give you a free session. That's awesome, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey man, it's about helping people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. How else? I mean, I know you have a website. Where can people go to kind of find you and, find out more about you?
Yeah. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, though I'm not very good at either of those. I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me there. And just generally just email me. I'll have you put the email in the in the show notes, and they can just reach out to me directly. I'll put in my consult schedule. So I do a 15-minute consult before I do any session. So that's obviously free as well. So they can schedule a consult and then a free session we'll talk about after that.
Yeah. And what is your email, or I'm sorry, your website address?
So prodigal, like the prodigal son.
Yes.
SD as in spiritual direction .org.
Okay.
Great.
Prodigalsd.org. Yep. All right, Elad, let me pray for you before we wrap up here, man. Okay.
Absolutely. Never turn down a free prayer.
That's right. That's right. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for Elad. Thank you for the burden you've placed on his heart, for this call to come alongside folks and help help us see maybe what's hidden under the surface, what might be in our subconscious, and kind of offer a key to unlock the issues we're struggling with that might lead to greater greater profitability in our service to you, Lord. I'm grateful for Elad. I'm grateful for his ministry. I'm grateful for his experience and the story that he shared with us today, Lord, where you just showed yourself so faithful. And so we praise you for how faithful you are to us, God. Thank you for this time together. Pray, Lord, for your continued guidance, and provision for Elad, and as he continues to build this business, really, this new business, new ministry that he started. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Elad, it was great to have you, man. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.